the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Salaham. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Salaham. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Salaham. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudayak, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Padipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am an heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyambi tatiyambi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Something. I had a really great insight a few days ago that's really helped me out a lot. I've got this lifelong project around my sexuality. I used to talk about it all the time. I haven't talked about it in quite a while, but it's, you know, it continues to go on as a sort of a major aspect of my life and my practice. And this doesn't really have anything to do with that, but it was, I realized that that I've been in a duality with it. And, you know, so there's a one side, just cut it out of the picture, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. The other side is, you know, I need to leave the monastery so that I can go be with someone, kind of thing. And I was walking, I was actually in the outhouse, and which is often where my favorite insights come. Like and I just suddenly got it that I am falling for the oldest trick in the book. Mm. I'm believing in this duality. I'm believing that there is a solution within the duality.
There's a solution within the duality, which is either cut it out or go out and leave the monastery.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've talked to hundreds, at this time, hundreds of people mm-hmm. who have come here for There's Nothing Wrong With the Retreat, and one of the things we do in there is look at duality mm-hmm. and talk about how that works and, you know, and hear from people how they, and they, everybody always gets stuck in the same places. And I'm, have been getting stuck in exactly those same places. Uh-huh. It's really amazing. Uh-huh. So, you know, what people always do is, you know, there's a preferred side of the duality, mm-hmm. you know, and if I can just make this happen all the time and not make that happen, then everything's going to be all right.
Trying to make it work within the duality.
Within the duality, yeah. And then there's always a self-hating kind of an element with it. So, like, for this, it's kind of a non-acceptance of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then people always get to the point, you know, it's really simple, you know, as a process, you know, look at duality, because people really get it, and once they get it, everybody goes, okay, well, I really get that, but now what do I do?
Do I choose this or do I choose that?
Yeah, and it's so funny, because, that's what I kept saying to myself all day the other day, I have been falling for the oldest trick in the book.
Which is the duality trap. It's like the mm-hmm. one that you said you've been facilitating people through for, like, you know, hundreds of people through, and they mm-hmm. get caught in the same exact spot over and over, yeah. and they're trying to make it work within the duality, and so Kate sneaks in and gets yeah. all that, makes no acceptance of any of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just shocking to see. Mm. I can't believe I've been falling for this. But I mean, I've been falling for this forever. I mean, not just like recently.
Right.
But I mean, it's always been an element of it. And, you know, I've since I saw that, I've had all these insights drop in about it. You know, there's this whole cultural conditioning around sexuality that goes way, you know, mm-hmm. goes back, you know, heavy duty Christian kind of stuff that got laid on top of it. And mm-hmm. I think probably even before that, all kinds of stuff. And it's completely internalized in here. Mm-hmm. That's why I haven't been able to see it.
Right.
And it's exactly what I was, how I was programmed to look at sexuality, And I think probably we all are. Mm-hmm. And it's just like this big, I just can't, you know, just see it. And I just suddenly saw it. You know, it is all about non-acceptance mm-hmm. of this aspect of being human. And as far as I tell, it is definitely an aspect of being human. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not some made-up thing or anything. It is just in there, and I can't do anything about that.
Right.
And, and since I saw that, I mean, it's just a little bitty thing. I mean, it's just a little tiny shift in perspective. It was like, there's been all these insights dropping in, and then and along with it is the acceptance, this missing mm-hmm. when I'm in the duality. You know, because that safe help, self-hating element, you know, we look at that, I look at that all the time when folks are here on that retreat, that, you know, duality, it's like you have you want to build a stool, you can't build a stool with two legs.
Right, yeah.
It has to have a third leg. And so mm-hmm. you've got two sides of duality, and the third leg is self-hate.
Self-hate, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, you have this choice or that choice. One of them is the right choice. You have to make the choice. If you make the right choice and you can stick with the right choice, then everything will be all right. But you can't.
But you can't.
So that makes you a bad person, and this is all your fault. Right. And that's kind of the third leg.
There. And it's a funny analogy. The third leg is what's holding the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's like the duality is going back and forth. If you could just pick one, you would be the right person. Mm-hmm. There's the right one, and you're not getting it. So clearly there's something wrong with you for not being it. So there's like non-acceptance of the whole thing.
Yeah,
within
self-judgment.
That. And it's just like, you know, like you described, it's just so internalized. It's mm-hmm. just the foundation through which we kind of like see everything. And,
mm-hmm.
and cutting it out or doing something else different.
Mm-hmm. And so you know, so seeing that suddenly, so, you know, there's the old trick, you know, if you can see it, you're not it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just have been seeing it. So I'm not that side of duality. I'm not that side of duality. I'm not the judgment and the non-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And it just puts me in a completely different relationship with it. And without doing anything, this kind of this sort of acceptance and even sort of kind of like a self-love has been flooding in, flowing in through it, which of course is what's in the middle of the whole thing
right. And
is causing the whole thing to go around and around and around. You know, that's the missing piece.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, I'm going here, going there, because there's, you know, it's the love, it's the self-love. Mm. That is, you know, when that's there, then none of this other stuff matters. And so, and
that's what's missing, right? That's like that's the missing piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part we're never supposed to see. It's the acceptance of it all.
Yeah.
The self-love in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm really, really grateful. It's been quite amazing. Mm-hmm. Yesterday we went to the bridge walk, and, you know, so all that is going on. And so there's this love here. And so I was just had a lot of love. Mm-hmm. I was just loving a lot of people yesterday, which is uncommon for me as a five. Usually I'm kind of skirting around the edges trying to
love people.
Yeah, but there was a lot of love and appreciation for people. And I just feel, I mean, I don't know, but maybe condition will do the next thing with this, which, because I have a feeling this is a lifelong project for me, but it's great to, another level of freedom with it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, it's like a whole perspective has shifted on it, where it's mm-hmm. It's not just duping you with the thing that you know, like it's always done,
mm-hmm.
basically, and you know, with one way is the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And
and the part that just keeps kind of astounding me is, and the part that has nothing to do with sexuality at all is, I can't believe I fell for that. You know, I mean, it's just such a fundamental trick that conditioning does. It's just the basic thing. It's like, I can't believe I fell for that. It just seems so obvious now.
Uh-huh.
There's no way, because I've got my preferred side, which is cut it out, get rid of it, never have any sexual thoughts or feelings of any kind. That's always over on this side of the duality. And there's no way that could work.
Right.
There's no way. That could never work, never will, never could, never mm-hmm. could have.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who I am, I could be the best, most amazing person, monk in the world. That side of that won't work, because it's just a side of duality.
That's right, yeah. It's the other side's gonna follow with it too.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is being held up by the non acceptance of it all.
That's right.
You know, and it's the cutting it out that's feeding the whole system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like a Ooh, I got you conditioning. I really nailed you on that. It's been pulling that on me ever since puberty, probably, 13 years old or something. It's been pulling that on me. I just suddenly saw it the other day. It was just amazing.
That's neat. It's like the part that I can relate to in the lifelong project is like constantly having that as a reminder that, I just picture a poster like the classic, as the header, the fundamental trap, and then just laying out what those two things are so I can constantly see that.
Another way to look at it is a lifelong opportunity, because like in these past few days I've just seen, that is a koan for me, I don't know how can I be at peace and in harmony with all of me, including my sexuality. And there's a big doorway right there, right to just bliss, basically love, complete self-acceptance, and the karma around it, I think, will never stop. But that means that doorway will never stop either. There's always that opportunity to step deeper into my relationship to myself through that window, kind of through the window of that karma. And so, I resent it a lot. I resent having this go on. I would just, that's the sign of reality, actually. Uh-huh. I just like to just get rid of all of it so I don't have to deal with it. But seeing it the way I see it now, I really appreciate it as it's a window into what I really want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think every piece of karma is.
Yeah, totally. That's like every kind of structure that's like that is an opportunity to go through it, to mm-hmm. find acceptance for it, and as a way to find possibility with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what Dave was talking about, but it sure was nice, the silence yesterday. Whole weekend, no kids. You guys got to be with me yesterday. But I was thinking that I was just yesterday thinking, I don't know a lot about the Buddha. I've seen it's so funny. I don't know about the historical Buddha's life that well. So, Zen practice for however many years, and I don't know a lot. But I watched this movie one time about the Buddha. And one of the things I was thinking just yesterday was, I'm in the last stages. Because remember the dancing girls or whatever he faced before he was enlightened? So my version of the dancing girls, it's so funny. And I was thinking yesterday, God, we haven't looked at that piece of content in 12 or 13 years, because I don't know when the last sexuality retreat was, but I know it was before I had kids. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking about that as a piece of content, and my experience, I just spoke with Sherry about this a few retreats ago, and I was telling her, my version of right and wrong, and what I was seeing come up, and you can't think or feel that, because I'm a parent of three children and married. She said, she's so funny. She's like, well, why don't you just try feeling whatever arises in the moment, no matter who you're with? You might be standing next to someone and feel like a feeling, and instead of thinking, oh, I'm married and have three children, you might just feel the sensations in your body. And you don't have to go have an affair.
Just to have sensations in your body,
exactly.
Does not mean.
Because, on both sides of duality, there's a meaning. Mm-hmm. There's I'm bad on one side, and I'm attracted to someone else on the other side, or whatever it is.
It's the go toward it or cut it out completely.
That's interesting. It's the go toward. Yeah. Yeah. I shouldn't be having this feeling, so don't feel it. Mm-hmm. I'm not having this feeling. I can't be having this feeling. That's the wrong kind of feeling to have. Pretend. But, somebody inside's having that feeling. Mm-hmm. And then there's the somebody inside having that feeling. And see, I watch people make decisions about life on both sides of the duality. Mm-hmm. So whether it's to leave the monastery or leave a marriage or get married or, rather than just staying with the sensations that arise in the body. And I remember being at the monastery on a retreat one time, and I remember having these sensations in the body that felt what someone would have labeled like sexual sensations. But I just breathe and breathe and breathe. And I think, with the saints of old called like ecstasy, or I think, you know, like an ecstatic physical experience of what they would call the presence of God, and I probably would too, life, whatever. It seems like for me, when I, the equivalent of what Dave was pointing out with what he knows is coming through is love, what I notice comes through is bliss. If I can just drop the belief systems about it, the stories. Okay, there is no story. I am married and I have three kids and I'm committed to staying that way. Mm-hmm. This is just a pleasant sensation in the body, an experience of life that I could just stay with without a story. And it's not attached to, so what somebody wants to do, what my head wants to do, is attach it to an external.
Right.
But it really isn't. You know, I mean, it really is, as far as I can tell, it isn't. I could believe it is.
Right, yeah.
Except if I look really closely, I'm having that experience in other places when I'm really, really present.
Uh-huh.
Do you know?
Yeah, like that experience isn't tied into any kind of external content or whatever is going on, because you have that experience in other circumstances, but it would like to attach it to that particular external.
Yes, ego would.
Right.
Because ego wants it to determine my life or something.
Right, well, that way you can get steered around to make choices based upon that.
Right.
Married in monasteries.
Right, jobs.
Jobs, exactly.
Yeah.
Just based on a feeling.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's the difference is that you're noticing is that the guidance you were given was to stay, just have the feeling.
Just
that
enjoy
you're having,
the feelings in the body.
Mean anything,
they don't mean anything.
Yeah.
And I was thinking this morning, last night, well, all weekend, it's really silent. You know, it was just me and Sadie yesterday. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it is so quiet on this road and in my house. And I thought, and I saw ego trying to say, oh, see, you should have been a monk. It's never this quiet. It hasn't been this quiet in at least 8 years and probably 12. But Clara wasn't loud when she was by herself. But, you know, lots of children and activity. It's just so loud. And, but instead, that of course, I should have, you know. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I could just really soak in and feel the silence and be a monk. And, you know, I'm being a monk. I'm washing every sheet in the house. Most people, you know, you should wash your sheets every however long, but it's been making all the beds, climbing up into bunk beds, and just practicing. Mm. Wow. Sitting on a bunk bed, looking out the window, climbing down. You know?
So instead of you should be a monk, you were a monk.
I was totally being a monk. I'm going to start. It was helpful to be reminded about that oldest trick in the world, because that is what happens.
Right.
No matter which side I start to indulge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lose-lose, self-hate on top of it system. I never heard that three-leg thing with self-hate keeping it really in place, but that is so, so, so true. Mm-hmm. And then there's just, you know, on both sides of that duality, there is a fear of not getting what it says it wants. Mm. So when I do move here, it's like, well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to get what I want, which it tells me is to feel good.
To feel
but
good.
But that's not really what it wants. What it really wants is me.
Yes. Yeah, it wants your attention. Going back and forth.
It wants my attention. It wants my energy. It wants my life.
Yeah.
But here I come into the moment. Wow, just enjoying, just enjoying, just enjoying. Oh, no. Don't just enjoy. Just enjoy this.
Yeah, I need to get involved in.
Let me explain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
let me explain.
Okay, but your life is like this. This is the right way. And then all of a sudden I'm not enjoying life anymore.
Right, yeah.
And but it tells you, you know what the story is, but if you listen to me, you're going to feel the way you just felt before you start listening to me. But it doesn't say that, right?
No, it doesn't. It just says that this is the trajectory, and you need to head this way and do this, do that.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it does it like with Sadie. There I am walking along, me and my dog, right?
Uh-huh.
And then it says, I need a dog. A free dog that's trained.
That is the classic. It's like you're having the experience, and it's telling you need to go get this experience.
Yes.
And so now,
And then I thought this morning, I woke up, oh, I wish Sadie was here. And I thought, well, what if Sadie was here? What would you have done? You would have balked okay, I'm going to get on a walk. Sniff around or whatever. Anyway, it's very tricky. It's very helpful. I'm so grateful for Sangha to hear because when you're in it, well, I'm in it, I'm just, you know, right or wrong and which is and how come. And,
yeah, and shifting around content too, like the way you're describing it.
Totally. Just, it just shifts around content. You see through one piece, okay, there's sexuality. Okay, and then, well, now I should be a monk. Well, now I should have a dog. And now I should have a different...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but it's that same thing, that same three-pronged right, wrong, you're bad.
Well, it's lose-lose, the way you describe it. It's like lose. Either way, right, wrong. And then it's like you pick one or the other. It doesn't matter because you stay here for a little while and then it'll be like, you know, need to have the kids again.
Right. Yeah. Right. Just drop it and be in the silence. Drop it and be with the dog here. Drop it and make the bed.
Yeah, drop it and be with the experience that you're having.
Yeah.
You know, just feel the feelings. It doesn't mean you have to...
Well, no, you have to prepare because they're going to be back in a minute. What
time?
Yeah, anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Jane.
Kind of, I think along the same lines, I've been revisiting the notion that we're basically bags of chemicals.
Revisiting the notion that we're bags of chemicals.
My content is different. Thursday I played in a golf tournament that I was excited about, and I woke up into kind of an adrenaline, and I was present and I was joyful, and I haven't been having that experience that much lately. And I won the tournament, played the best I've played all year, had a hole in one. Had a hole in one.
Wow.
I say that twice.
For the record.
And I was aware that, and I'd been playing with a lot of pain. And I was completely pain free. So, I mean, I could get all spooky religious about it, but basically, adrenaline is an incredible thing.
Adrenaline is an incredible thing.
The effect of the, for me, the effect of heightened chemistry in the body is very obvious. And one of the greatest treasures of awareness practice for the last, some years has been as I've aged, watching the chemical makeup of the body change. And what used to be just so important and upon which I was so focused, just literally in a matter of a few months, just fell away.
Things that you felt were really important in a matter of months just fell away.
Yeah. And and I've read that kind of thing happens to a lot of people. And before it happened, I said, that can't be true.
That's not going to happen. I feel this way about it.
It seems so clearly external and content-oriented. So really, that's kind of all. It's there is awareness, which I think is not chemical.
Awareness is not chemical.
But it's sure easy, for me, has been easy to get to see the effects of these changes in and whatever happens to be coursing through the bloodstream.
Yeah, and the effect that it has on what your life experience is, it sounds like, because you also mentioned that you experienced joy in being present during that golf tournament as well.
Yeah.
That you were excited about.
A heightened sense of that. Mm-hmm.
That you said you hadn't felt in a while.
Right. To that degree.
To that degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it can sound like I'm saying it's all about adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, I really had no influence on it. I'm not saying that at all.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying it's certainly like a boost to the system.
Mm. It's a boost to the system. The adrenaline? Or the,
yes.
Yes. Yeah, that was coursing through you during that time. Because you said you were excited about it in a way that you've not been before. And you had the best game that you had.
Yeah.
Oh, hole in one.
Yeah. It was fun.
It was fun. Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much.
I'm really grateful to be here. It's been a long time. It's been a pretty conditioning-filled summer where it seems like we've had, we talked about all the topics that engender really believable stuff, health, and familial, spousal, children relationships, job, all those kinds of things. There's been content active on all fronts all summer. And yesterday at the bridge walk when they were doing the drawings, the raffle,
mm-hmm.
Zoe the youngest was out there doing it with some other kids, and it was just interesting to see. She was out there, and at one point she draws the number, she read it, and then she paused, and then she looked up and I read it again for and looked around, and I don't know if I can put this. When she did that, Lisa was about 10 feet away from me, and we looked over at each other, because it was just, I don't want to say out of character, but yesterday she was so vibrant and helpful, and she often isn't, because she's going through a lot of stuff herself. I'm not sure, just seeing her interact with other people, she spent a lot of time at the dollhouse, of course, but just seeing her interact with others, and when she's this way, which is her real self, she's so great with young kids. And I was talking to her later, she was talking to the dancer instructor, was it Jackie?
Jackie, yeah.
And Jackie was looking at the dollhouse. I was talking to Zoe, we were talking about what went on today, and I said, oh yeah, did you like the dancing? Yes, oh yeah, I really liked it too. And Zoe said, oh well, you should tell her, she'd like that. And that's, it just doesn't come out, it's just not available enough or something, but that's, for me, from my perspective, it's just a nice insight from a 9-year-old. You should tell her she'd like that. And I did.
Uh-huh.
And I want her, I would, so much to be able to spend more time there, and with this summer and the amount of reaction to all the junk going on, I know I haven't been the greatest parent, and Lisa would agree that she hasn't been the greatest parent, and I don't want to just turn into a giant self-hating thing. It's not just that, it's just more, I don't know, if I could just be at the bridge walk every day,
uh-huh.
kind of a thing. And I'm not, I don't know, I'm just sort of feeling my way through all these. This brings up a lot of emotion, obviously, because I want the best for her, and I know that she's such a darling. And sometimes I forget.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we do.
And I guess, well, let's remember more, but I can just, her behavior is such that it brings up in me, don't do that. that kind of closed off kind of thing. And if I could, I don't know, let her, on some level, let her be her, but at the same time, you know.
So you were looking at letting her be her and watching within yourself this kind of response.
Yeah, well, my response is that to the behavior that wasn't around yesterday, the angry, smart mouth, upset behavior that is there so frequently.
The angry, smart mouth behavior.
Yes.
That wasn't there yesterday.
Oh, no. Uh-huh. No, both the kids were kind of, you know, a little shy at first, and then they warmed up, and it was nice to see, you know. I mean, they're both kind of shy around people most of the time. I mean, new people, but reassured them that they're in a safe place. So, but no, they both interacted well with folks. And, I don't know. I know it's just a matter of watching what comes up for me and being able to feel what I'm feeling in the moment when I'm feeling it, when the things arise in me based on her reaction, and then being able to kind of don't do this to myself.
Yeah, don't do this kind of thing to yourself.
To myself. And at the same time, being able to interact with her in a way that I'm talking and presenting myself in a way that's not going to just be angry or upset. And give myself, be able to deal with her in that way while giving myself the freedom to experience what I'm experiencing and not take that with me and then dump it on her.
Yeah. To not have, it's like what we've been talking about pretty much this morning. It's just like, just because those feelings are there doesn't mean you have to now do something about that. You know, like these are just feelings that are going on inside of you. Just like you had feelings going on inside of you at the walk yesterday, like you were noticing things happening with your daughters, and it's like that. I want the bridge walk every day. It's like, you know, I want to have Sadie every day, or I'm gonna be a monk. You know, it's like Do you know what I mean? Like just.
I want all the good stuff.
I want that, and not this.
I heard myself saying to my recorder a week or so ago, I don't want to feel these feelings, and I want to be happy all the time.
yeah.
I think the mentor responded with something like, well, that about sums it up. But, yeah. And thanks.
Thank you. It's a question.
Oh, as usual, just... So much great stuff has come up. That whole thing about, let's see. Yeah, I've been looking at, wanting to do it right, how this all ties into a lot of the conversation this morning. You know, just somebody just wanting to do it so right. And, I'm doing that last year. It came up for me too. It's just that, you know, that face, she's such a darling.
Yeah.
And just seeing the possibility of living with that kind of acceptance for the young parts of myself that come up, that I just, you know, to, yeah, oh no, that's not the right part. Really, you know, that's, I don't want that. I don't want that experience. I don't want, you know, I shouldn't, you know.
Yeah,
should,
just the whole list of what you...
I shouldn't be X, Y, and Z, you know. And yet still, I'm in a body.
Yes.
I'm in a human form. And I can see, like, that is an incredible gift.
Mm.
And push away any of that experience is, you know, to just, I don't know, it's just to push away that gift.
Yeah, to push away all of it almost. It's like,
yeah.
Like that little darling goes out with everything.
Yeah.
And to not accept any part of it.
Yeah, and to just be in in that kind of state of resistance to, and it's just how that blocks the light that wants to flow, to flow through, and how, boy, coming back to see how I caused myself to, you know, suffer, it's just that suffering place of, non-acceptance for a human having a human experience.
Yeah, a non-acceptance of a human having a human experience, just pushing away or having that part blocked off.
Yeah. And just, I've been watching just a lot of fear come up lately. Just, wow. You know, I do think it has to come back to the horror, coming back to bringing the attention. You know, and just having a lot of that emotion of fear come up, and my, you know, my default position is no, you know, can't be a fearful person.
Can't be a fearful person. That's not the right person.
That's not the right person. You know, and yet to be in that place of sweetie.
Sweetie.
You know, I'm with you. I'm gonna, you know. It's fine to have whatever feeling, and we're in this together. You know, the mentor just, you know.
Yeah, the mentor is in there together with you. Just right. Accepts all of you.
Right, it totally accepts all of you. There's just not. There's a whole thing, a whole culturally conditioned thing about who I am supposed to be and how I'm supposed to be in order to be accepted and loved, and you know, it's just so narrow. And that earlier discussion of sexuality too, you know, it's just like, whoa, just that whole overlay of Christian you know, I know how, and how I was raised, it was pretty intense. You know, and sexual feelings were definitely, they were like, that's a mistake, you know. Right. They're not supposed to be there at all. And if they could have been, you know, definitely a sign that there was something wrong. And that, you know, and this was, you're a bad person to have them.
And yet we do.
And yet we do. Mm-hmm. And yet also, you know, this has just been such a koan for me. It's like, and the incredible writings of saints and mystics. I mean, they're what they write is just so erotic and so, you know, infused with sexuality. I mean, it's, they, you know, just talk about that. And, that marriage with the divine is just, I mean,
it's
definitely not cut out, you know. No. It is just like, you know, it is, it's fully lived in that kind of experience with God. And so I find that all quite, quite interesting. And again, goes back to just to just be able to be with the fully be with the sensations without that duality, without that right wrong, you know, caught in that three-legged stool with self, sitting on that little stool, and you know when
there's all that ecstatic experience.
Yeah, if you just get up off the stool. Just say yes. Yes. It doesn't have, and it, like I said earlier, I get, you know, it doesn't have to be attached to a particular content.
Right.
You know,
and your experience is that it's not necessarily attached to any particular content. It's just coursing through. It's just that three-legged stool is just there, you know, blocking your view almost. It's like, choose this, choose that, don't do that, do this.
I know when I first came to the monastery, I was aware of a lot more energy in my body and a lot more what I would term sexual feelings. What? You know, what's going on? You know, because I thought they were all I thought they were all related to content.
Right. And yet they were showing up here.
Here, and whether, you know, there wasn't any content to pin it on. But I think it was just being alive, you know, just like being, knowing that I was like following my heart, and it was just, yeah, just bringing up this whole new experience of aliveness and, just unaccustomed.
unaccustomed
aliveness.
yeah, it sure reminds me so much of like what Jim was sharing about with the adrenaline and heightened experience of being present and joyful. It's like that which is available when all of that story or the conditioning about right and wrong and this is okay to feel, this is not okay to feel, or this content is what I need in order to experience those kinds of things.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And you know, of course, now the content has, I'm growing old, you know, it's that what was shared earlier, you know, and it's true that that it seems like the chemical mix changes. In a way, it's a relief, you know. it's just a different focus. And of course, then, you know, conditioning was coming. Well, okay, so you missed the opportunity for a static experience with the divine because now you're 65. Yeah, that should have happened back, you know.
Yeah.
And to just, you know, to just drop that content too.
Yes.
And then that life is ageless.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Who knows what is going to produce that ecstatic experience?
Yeah. And it's ageless and ecstatic.
Yeah. Ageless and ecstatic.
And as long, as long as it's flowing through the form. So anyway, it's been great.
Thank you. What else?
Susan? Well, sure. Parenting experience then, since it was referred to. So Sophia, you know, she's 4 now. You know, because you saw her yesterday. And I went, you know, she's number 3. She's neglected. Although Clara and David say that they play with her, so she's not, you know. But so on Friday, we had this, at their school, they had this thing called Michaelmas. It's about St. Michael. It's like St. George and the dragon. This guy comes and conquers the dragon. You head into autumn where it's a time. Anyway, so Sophia, I come to her in the kindergarten. They had something. They had like a first. They had this feast. So I sit down and she is beaming. Now she's beaming all the time, but I miss it.
Oh, you miss the beaming.
I miss the beaming because gotta fix her lunches, gotta get out the door, gotta brush your teeth, gotta get your this done and that done, and you know. She really does twinkle a lot. Now, she's my most, I was going to say oppositional. I don't know if that's true. She brings up my most stuff about just do what I ask you to do right now. Because, you know, she's 4 and other things catch her attention. And she complains and whines still, you know. So, anyway, you can see I'm getting lulled into the... but anyway, I watched as I was gazing at her how... And I've noticed this with Sophia a lot since I've been doing my smiling meditation.
Mm. So you've been practicing smiling?
I practice smiling meditation. And, you know, I've said this before, but I came up off of a retreat, and that was my commitment. Get up in the morning and smile. smile. And Sophia started drawing. I said this. I should bring the pictures down. Pictures of me with these smiles, but it wasn't just a smile, it was like a mouth with teeth. So she started drawing me really smiling big. And so I was watching her, it was just me and her at this little table, anyway, I don't know about the right English there, but she and I and her friends and their parents, and they were doing this thing for us, some kind of thing they'd memorized. And she's concentrating and doing her. So I'm watching, and she goes like this out of the corner of her eye, and she sees me, and she's just beaming, you know, someone is paying attention to her. And I, after that, it's useless to beat myself up for lack of paying attention. You know, I could, what ego wants me to do is, there you go.
Yeah.
She's beaming because you never pay attention to her in that way. Or I could go with, wow, it was a really nice experience to connect with Sophia in that way. And it's a priority. It's a priority. Just like meditation's a priority, and just like cleaning the house is a priority. And I have to get back into my... I used to have playing meditation, and I had it scheduled. You know, I would sit on the ground, and it has to be at least 20 minutes, because I don't tend... It's like meditation.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't really get super present for a while, because everything, you know, my
head...
You
get settled down into it. It doesn't begin until about, like, 5 minutes into it or something.
Exactly! And it takes... So, I was thinking about looking at my... stuff that arises with the prospect of them coming home. just practicing. Okay, I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'm going to practice with just being present and smiling. Keep it really simple. You know, and I know what I have to do. I mean, I know, like, the where I have to meet them and what a birthday party, and I have to get, you know, so just do the next thing. Keep it really simple. Don't add anything on.
Yeah, no high standards about how you need to be, just being really present.
Yes.
You know, like doing the practices that you know support you, it sounds like.
Yes,
just,
and do it for me.
Do it for
because
you.
Because sometimes they're like sponges and soak it in, and sometimes they're not.
Right.
You know,
sometimes.
I'm smiling, I'm present,
what's
I'm
wrong?
Getting
you
up
know?
Since 4:45, and don't they know, you know?
I'm
at the top party first, they're not getting out the door, angry at each other.
Right, you're doing it for you, right?
Yes.
It may seem like you're walking Sadie, or you know,
right?
But you're actually doing it. You're the
I'm walking.
You're the one having the experience
totally.
Of that. Who so, knows what they're
exactly? And to keep that the focus, because what ego wants to do is slip in and say, "Well, you got up at 4:45. You meditated. You did your little prostrations. You read your stuff. You prayed to God." You took your shower, you fixed everybody's lunch, you know, it just starts to go like this. It's
right.
Telling me all the things I've done. And now, look at him. 5 minutes before, nobody's had this and that. You know. But, right, wait a minute, I did that for me. I did that for me. Because it feels really good. And I feel really present.
Yeah.
And it gives me a really good possibility of being able to go with what life is offering. And I get to watch myself. If
yeah.
I don't.
That's right.
And I get to protect myself from self-hatred.
Yes.
Because I'm human. And just like I'm going to have sexual feelings, I'm going to be angry at my kids. And I'm going to be, you know.
Yeah, and then they're going to have whatever goes
exactly.
on with them as well, too.
Exactly. And to just be fascinated by it rather than trying to... So when I'm identified, I just want to... Everybody get out the door happy, happy, happy.
Exactly.
You know.
It's
well,
like the... Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like the... You know, we all wake... It's funny to watch, but... Kids wake up on the right side of the bed more time, at least mine do, more often than not. And when they don't, it's annoying to me. I wake up on the wrong side of the bed daily. That's why I get up so early and meditate. But they really do wake up really like naturally smiling. Maybe as they get older, they're a little more resistant to getting up. But anyway, it's just good practice. Good practice to see those times, to feel the connection, to not go to the place of leaving. That's the thing I'm really going to practice. Feel the connection. Be grateful that I'm having it right now. Rather than what conditioning has me do is, oh, let's leave to think about how we should have that more often.
Right.
You know, I should quit my job and go to school with Sophie every day. No.
Right.
No.
Yeah, it's not taking that... It's back to what you started with, about staying with the feeling. You know,
yeah,
like, so there's Sophie beaming or whatever like that.
Yeah.
Just staying with it rather than, I need to spend more time with her.
Right.
Just like you just said. You
exactly.
know,
it's a different experience. I mean, look how you, like, staying with it is, oh, you know, I'm a sponge soaking in that smile and that beauty and that twinkling or beaming. The other one, like you said, it's like this. Oh. I'm a lame mom. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't do this often enough. What? I'm right here. I'm here right now with water, enjoying soup and fresh tomatoes and chocolate cake. Everything, you know, everything tasted good, and she was serving it. You know, she's four. Sophie, can you go get water? I'm dying of thirst. I keep dumping the jug out. Okay, Mom. Yeah, it's just really important that we practice, because ego gets so weird. You know?
Yep.
It doesn't make sense, does it? Why would there be a force like that that would do that to us? But there is. So we have to stay really
present. Yeah.
Present.
This morning?
Yeah, thank you. Since we have time, a completely different topic. The people are talking about family. I don't have kids, obviously, but I did have an experience with my brother yesterday. Mm-hmm. Which was fun. I've been having a story go on about that I'm feeling a little separate from him, and you know, there's just kind of like some stuff there. And it's just one of those where, God, boy, it's just so obvious that conditioning is just making up a bunch of stuff about nothing that I'm believing. Because you know, he showed up. He was late by a good while, like an hour, and I thought he wasn't coming. I thought he was going to blow it off, and then you know, so I went to a story about that, and he showed up, and it was just cool. Uh-huh. You know, we walked across the bridge together and had a really nice conversation. And, you know, it just was one of those, just like a reality check against the story.
Yeah.
That, you know, none of anything that I'm thinking probably is going on at all.
That's so sobering, isn't it? It's like, mm-hmm. you just have these moments where it's like, God, that can't be true. I mean, just like, because it's going on constantly, and it's just so believable when it's there, and then you have a situation like that, and it's just like so clear. It's mm-hmm. nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I'm just feeling kind of grateful to life for providing those kinds of feedback. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like life, if we just leave it alone, it will just go so well.
If we leave it alone, it will go so well.
It will. Uh-huh. Yeah, just things, you know, people are, in general, people are fabulous. You know, people's conditioning is not so fabulous, but in general, you know, if we just kind of let ourselves be who we are, we're just awesome. And other people are awesome. And the world is really beautiful. Things tend to go our way. That seems like what it means. I mean, everything, pretty much everything goes my way. And, you know, it's, yeah, just this, the stories are just so unrelated to anything that's happening. I guess what I'm saying is it's fun to, I just felt supported, not so much by him, but just by life, because there, here's an opportunity, and then it's just like, I can't really say what I'm thinking. Mm. Like, we're all going around, and it's like life is up here with this kind of master plan. And the master plan says that everybody is going to get exactly what they need right now.
Always, yeah.
Always. Every now.
Every now.
Every now. Yeah. And so, it's just, that just keeps being my experience. It's like, there is an orchestration happening that is for my benefit. That is coming from some place that I can't see and don't understand, but keep experiencing that. And
you have potential to experience that, it sounds like, because you could also have things happen to you, and it could bring up the conditioning, which is not so fabulous.
Right. And then it looks like nothing's going my way. It looks like life is unkind and out to get me. And,
that's right.
You know, which is, I mean, a place that it's really easy to go. Mm-hmm. But without that, it just seems like everything is good. And life is good, people are good, the world is good. Yeah. And I'm just grateful for having life give me so much that's helpful all the time. I guess what it is it's surprising that life would notice me. I don't know if you know what I mean. I say,
yeah.
I'm so small, so I'm such a tiny little part of all that is, mm-hmm. but, and this is very theistic, I realize I'm not terribly Buddhist, but I can't help it. but, you know, it's like life there's billions of people, I don't know how many billions, 6 or 8, I think, plus all the plants and critters, plus who knows how many other planets, and who knows how many other universes full of all kinds of critters and stuff. And in the middle of all, and I'm just tiny. And plus, you think about everybody who's been, everybody who's gonna be. And I'm just the tiniest little tiny of anything in the middle of all that. But life has the attention and the awareness to see me in the middle of time and all that space and all the just incredible complexity, and cares about me enough to give me exactly what I need in every moment. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. That it would go through all that to be able to give you that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that it loves me enough.
Mm-hmm. Even in the, those kinds of things that the conditioning would come in about, why your brother's not coming and all that, to give you that experience too, mm-hmm. so that you can see through that and see it for the story that it is.
That's true too. Yeah, you can look at that as coming from that too. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And that he shows up and you have a wonderful experience with him going across the bridge. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. Yeah. I think you're right, Alice. Yeah, all of it is life, really. Yeah, it's hard sometimes to justify the awfulness of the suffering that I go through and that people go through. Mm-hmm. But I think that seems to be a part of the goodness too.
Yeah, because I remember these situations where people ask, why is conditioning around? Why, it came up this morning too. It's like, why would it come in and just try to destroy so much? And it's like, the response maybe it's our opportunity to see that we're not separate, we love unconditionally, all that goodness is already here, we just need to let go of everything it is and to be here, our best opportunity to be here, and just be with life that is providing for us in that way, constantly, non-stop.
Mm-hmm. Another way to look at it, I've been thinking about, is your pain in the body is it's a form of communication, is basically what it is, I think. You're about ready to hurt yourself in some way, and so the pain tells you, stop. It tells you, this is, you're heading in the wrong direction. And I think that a lot of the suffering is that way too. It's a communication from, it's a way life communicates that tells us that we're going in the wrong direction.
So a biofeedback there.
Yeah. And so if you look at it like with a body, look at it from that point of view, and it's good. Pain is good. So you could look at it. It seems like it'd be possible to look at the kind of the suffering, everything goes on in that way too, and just see that that's how it's part of the goodness. It's a way of telling us how to get where we need to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's telling us how we need to go where we need to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's keeps coming up when we suffered enough. Mm-hmm. There's a reason to do spiritual practice or intelligence, just seeing how it all works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see that the suffering is what motivates us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. All right, well, thank you all.